Welcome to the Wellness Creator Podcast, where we delve into the business side of online wellness, sharing stories, strategies, and inspiration from people like you who are building meaningful income streams on the internet. If you're in the business of helping people to live healthier, happier lives, this podcast is for you. Be sure to subscribe to the show to get notified each time we release a new episode. Welcome, Emmett, to the Wellness Creator Podcast. I am happy to have this time today to chat with you.
Jennifer, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So you are a new partner of ours at Marvelous. We're super excited to have this collaboration. So for those who don't already know, we have now released an integration with Emmett's company. And I just would love it, Emmett, if you could just give our audience a little bit of background on who you are and what your company is and what you do in the world.
Sure. So my name is Emmett Gibney. I'm the CEO of Rewardful. Rewardful is an affiliate tracking and program management tool. A lot of our positioning on our website, when you go to it, it talks about, you know, affiliate marketing for SaaS companies. But in many cases, we have platform partners, as we call them, that we built integrations with who are SaaS companies, and their customers may or may not necessarily be other SaaS companies. So we've got a handful of sort of like membership and coaching software type programs that we work with, and Marvelous being one of the most recent ones. So yeah, basically we make it very easy for people that are using Stripe for their payments. If they want to set up an affiliate program, it's super easy to get set up. And if you're using one of our integration partners, like Marvelous in this instance, then it's even quicker because of the integration. They take care of a lot of sort of the technical setup that's required. And very briefly, if someone's like, well, what's an affiliate program? Basically, it's a way to reward word of mouth referrals, whether that's customers who are referring you to other people that want to use your product or service, or professional affiliates, maybe it's influencers and so forth, who are looking for a way to generate some revenue by referring products or services that would be interesting to their audience and getting a commission for that. And so Rewardful, basically, you hook it up to your account with Marvelous, you hook it up to your Stripe account. It's super straightforward. The instructions are quite simple. But Rewardful then will track all of the referrals that come from affiliates, do the calculations on the commissions that are owed to the different affiliates. And at the end of the month, when you decide you want to go and pay your affiliates, we make it very easy to do that as well through PayPal. So glossing over, you know, a lot of sort of the details in terms of the how things operate and the setup and so forth. But the long and the short of it is we make it very easy for people to set up affiliate programs.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for that explanation. And I just want to offer a clarification to our listeners. So with Marvelous, there are kind of two categories of affiliate tools. So if you're a Marvelous customer and you're listening, or you're just a fan of Marvelous and you've set up a Marvelous account so that you can be an affiliate for Marvelous, that's automatic. What Emmett is talking about with our integration with Rewardful is that if you are selling digital products on Marvelous, so classes and courses and memberships and coaching programs and retreats and anything else that you sell on Marvelous, you can now use our integration with Rewardful. You can sign up through your Marvelous dashboard for a Rewardful account. And now you can offer commissions to your audience for selling your things that you sell through Marvelous. So just want to make that clear. Those are kind of like two separate things. We've always kind of had the affiliate side where you could make a commission by selling Marvelous. But what's new is that you can now offer commissions to your customers, your students, your audience for promoting your products and services. So I will just say the reason why we built this partnership, Emmett, is because we have heard, especially over the last 18 months or so, that marketing is just getting a little bit more challenging for our audience. So free channels on social media marketing typically are getting harder to have organic reach, maybe with the exception of TikTok. And then things like Facebook and Instagram ads, which a lot of our customers have relied on for growing their online business, have just gotten really prohibitively expensive over the last couple of years. And so having an opportunity to get kind of like free publicity by offering an affiliate program is really appealing to folks, but it's certainly a little bit more advanced. And so I just am wondering if you can share with our listeners, how does someone know that they're ready to set up an affiliate program? Let's say they run a yoga studio and they have a monthly membership and that's their primary offering. Maybe they also offer a teacher training program. How would they know if an affiliate program is a good fit?
So it's quite common that we will get customers coming to us, Rewardful, and they're looking to use Rewardful to acquire their first ever customers. And so there's two different modes or sort of classifications in terms of readiness that you can look at. So one is I am launching my business with my affiliate program. And the other is I have a business and I want to launch an affiliate program as an additional channel for acquiring customers. And we absolutely see customers who use affiliate to launch their business as sort of the first channel for acquiring customers. But it's definitely, I would say, harder because there's lots of things that you haven't figured out yet, right? The thing about affiliates is they're traffic, right? And they can't solve other problems within sort of your sales or marketing funnel, right? And so let's say it's someone who's just selling a purely digital product, right? If your landing page, if the marketing copy isn't very good and you're not, what you're selling isn't compelling for whatever reason, affiliates won't solve that, right? And so ideally you have more than zero sales, right? Like you understand, like, okay, I've created a product or a service or whatever that people are interested in. So I know I can tick that box and say, yeah, I've got a funnel that works or a sales process or marketing process that works. And now I'm just trying to add fuel to that fire, right? So we have some case studies of customers who've launched their business to great success using an affiliate program, but these were like second or third time entrepreneurs. They kind of knew the formula to build the business. They had a pretty strong sense that, like, yeah, I know people want this thing that I've created. So it's ideal that you've got some other sort of channel that is already working and you're looking to add fuel to the fire. Because like I said, you might be getting a bunch of traffic sent to you by affiliates who are ultimately getting frustrated because your product doesn't sell. And so that's kind of an ideal place to be. Like you've got an existing product or service and you've got some semblance of sales.
Mm-hmm. So would you say if someone, let's just say they're a Pilates teacher, they're an individual teacher, they started teaching online during the pandemic. That's a very common use case in our customer base. And they maybe had a kind of a cult following in you know, New York City or LA where they were teaching in person, but then the world has changed and now kind of online teaching is the norm. And so they have this like core base of raving fans who maybe have met them on a retreat or a workshop or who were one of their in-person clients. Would that creator be a good fit for an affiliate program in that case?
Probably, yeah, because they've kind of got two things there. One is they've got an offer, a value proposition, a product, a service that people are clearly wanting. They've got a lot of these customers that have already been buying from them, right? So you can see there's desire or need in the market, right? Demand. And then the other thing is they probably have a group of potential affiliates that they can seed their affiliate program with. Affiliate programs and customer referral programs, in our world, we look at them differently. But you can have something that is classed as an affiliate program that's filled with customers. And a quick distinction between the two, a famous example of a customer referral program was years ago, PayPal had this program where if you referred a friend to join PayPal, you'd both get $5 in your PayPal account or something like that, right? It's generally like a one-time thing. You're not getting like recurring value from the person you referred. It's more about just getting customers to refer more people to join. Whereas affiliate program, it's more about like making money and getting a commission, but you can have an affiliate program that's filled with customers. So in your scenario where you've got someone, they've got this raving base of fans basically that would love to tell their friends to come and join them. That'd be a great place to start. Even better if those fans or previous customers happen to have some sort of audience of their own, whether that's, you know, on social or they've got a blog or something like that. Yeah, I think that'd probably be a pretty good jumping off point.
That's great. Yeah, I would say that's a pretty common use case in our audience, which is that most of our clients have no problem sort of making that initial amount of money from their products and services. They have expertise, they have reputation. Many of them have one or more social channels where they've built an audience like Instagram. But then there's just sort of like this natural ceiling that I think without having additional marketing channels that people tend to reach within their existing network and audience. And so I see this as one of these opportunities to break through and start to have a reason so that the people who are, you know, following you on Instagram or who've come to some of your workshops or classes now have an added incentive to tell people about you. And I mean, I think that it's like so normal now. And I just wonder, maybe that's a question for you. I've been in this industry for a decade and I feel like affiliate programs were maybe a little more taboo early on when I got started because you like there was like a little bit of a sense of I don't want people to think I'm trying to just make money off of them. If I post a blog post or something, I want them to think that I'm really writing this blog post to give them value. But I've just noticed like it's so normalized now, like pretty much every blogger influencer has a link, you know, an affiliate link for whatever they're talking about. And I'm just wondering if you can just maybe give our audience a little bit of your own observation of kind of how the market has shifted over the last decade or so.
Yeah, it's funny. Like I talk to a lot of people that are kind of affiliate marketing veterans, as you would, right? And I often ask them like, you know, how has the industry changed and evolved for the last, let's say 15, 20 years? That's probably about as long as it's been around. And the big thing is sort of the perception. Like earlier on in the internet, the perception on affiliate links was, it was a bit kind of taboo or cheesy or salesy or whatever. And I think sort of in the last 10 years, particularly in the last 5 years, that was sort of the rise of influencers, creators, that people are looking for a way to monetize their creativity and building an audience, right? And it's kind of maybe a good segue into how to position your offer, as it were, to potential affiliates. A lot of times people get frustrated because they're not having success with trying to pitch an influencer or creator or affiliate on joining their affiliate program. And that's because they actually look at it too much from a transactional financial relationship. Like, oh, promote my program and you'll make this much money. And that's, you know, important salient information to share with someone. But my observation with a lot of creators is that there's two things that really is going to interest them about an affiliate program. One is, there's a possibility to monetize it. But actually, I think the second one is more important, and that's content. I want something that is interesting and valuable that I can talk to my audience about. And if you've got someone who they create content around wellness, say yoga specifically, Pilates, something like that, right? And you come to them with an affiliate deal to sell gold bars, and they can make a lot of money off of that. It doesn't matter. It's not relevant to their audience, right? It's not useful, valuable content that I'm going to get social cachet for sharing, right? And so if the content that you're going to be offering for them to create is not valuable, the product you created is not interesting or valuable, they're not going to want to promote you, right? And I think that's maybe where things have kind of evolved. There's so many more different products and services that you can sell. There's such a long tail of different affiliate programs that you can promote and hyper-specialized for all sorts of different niches and verticals and things like that. So yeah, if you can have content that is super like relevant and interesting to a particular audience, I think audiences are much more forgiving and understanding of whether it's, they've got an affiliate deal, they're going to get some money off of this. I get it. I understand it, but it's still really interesting. And whether it's an affiliate deal or a sponsored post or that kind of thing, I feel like audiences are more comfortable with that and understanding that, you know, there's a lot of content that's free on the internet. And like, you know, if there's an affiliate deal in there, people are comfortable with that, right? So as a way to monetize some percentage of your audience effectively, so.
Yeah, it's great. It's like, do you want to see a bunch of display ads or do you want someone who's in their blog post to be talking about something that they really love that they might get a commission on if they sell it? Yeah, exactly. I think so. I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, just thinking about our creators and in our case, wellness creators, what sort of assets and things do they have to put together to make an affiliate program appealing? Let's say they want to offer affiliate commissions for a retreat that they're selling. what would they need to have in place? I mean, obviously Rewardful is going to handle like the link, you know, the giving out the appropriate link, but like what other kind of extraneous assets do you typically recommend that creators start to put together?
It's really just going to be the same kind of stuff you would put together for any other kind of traffic, right? And so you can get really sophisticated or you can get pretty basic. This is something that we're actually starting to experiment for ourselves, is creating more sophisticated funnels. So like lead magnets and having like email sequences and things like that. So for example, instead of sending someone into just our landing page, come sign up for Rewardful, it's, you know, here's a lead magnet that pulls you through an email sequence, warms you up, educates you, and then, you know, hopefully you have a better conversion sort of percentage. So it really depends on what's going to work best for your funnel, irrespective of whether it's affiliate traffic or not, right? And so blog posts that might be kind of relevant in some way. So let's say, for example, you happen to have something you offer for, let's say it's like postnatal yoga or something like that, or pregnancy.
There's a lot
yoga,
of that.
Or,
there's a lot of that going on Marvelous. good
example. And my wife has probably did that when she was pregnant with our kids, right? So the more niched down with different sort of content you can get. So let's say, for example, I've got a service. This is not wellness oriented, but let's say I've got a service, a software, and one ICP I have, ideal customer profile, is lawyers, and another one is accountants. I might create content, might be blog posts or different landing pages or ebooks or whatever, that's for lawyers, and another stream of content that's for accountants. And say for my affiliates that want to send people to the lawyers and accountants, to, you know, send people to this landing page with this content, if that's your audience, right? So let's say you partner with someone who is a mommy blogger, right? And they're talking about like, oh, I did this yoga, this pregnancy yoga or postnatal yoga or whatever the different niches is, that's very relevant to their audience, and give them content that is going to be relevant to that audience, whether it's blog posts or case studies. Again, it depends how sophisticated you are. If you have the ability to produce videos, anything, right? Like that's just going to be relevant for that audience. The fact that the traffic is from affiliates doesn't actually really matter. It's whatever you would normally do. And then just educate your affiliates on, this is how our funnel works best. Send people to this landing page and we put them through this email sequence, and then, you know, the conversion rate's going to be better, right? Ultimately, the thing to understand with affiliates is they're playing what's called an EPC game. So earnings per click. So if I've got a blog, for example, I've got a finite amount of real estate. I mean, it's not technically finite because the internet, you could create infinite amount of content, but generally speaking, there's a certain amount of traffic I'm getting and a certain amount of space on my pages that I need to basically cordon off for different sort of offers or different types of content, whether it's internal content or stuff I'm selling. And I want the offer that's going to get me the best earnings per click, effectively, if that's when you're looking at it just purely on sort of the monetary perspective, right? And so the better performing your funnel is, the more likely they're going to want to promote you. So somewhat of a long-winded answer, but effectively, to summarize, affiliate traffic or non-affiliate traffic, there's not really much of a distinction. You want to educate them so they can put their traffic through in sort of the most effective way possible. And the more you can do in terms of the types of assets you can create for that, the better.
Okay. So just on a technicality here, do you recommend that people create like a guidebook for their affiliates with links to all of these resources and kind of funnels or suggested content that they should send their viewers to? Or do you recommend swipe files? Like, what is the best kind of way, or like, in 2024, that's when we're recording this, what is the best kind of way to deliver that information to someone who signs up as a new affiliate?
I'll give you an example. And this is something I saw a customer of ours do recently. A company called Beehive, and they're kind of like a Substack competitor. They're blowing up. They're doing quite well. And for their affiliate program, after you sign up, they basically send you some resources. One of the things they send you is basically a link to a page. It's just a web page. And you could kind of think of it almost like a media kit, right? So like you've got on a media kit, you'll have like maybe like pictures of the founder and maybe some case studies, and this is the logos we like to use and so forth. It's like a media kit, but for your affiliates. And so it's basically like a guide, and I can share the link with you, and you can share it in the show notes or whatever.
Yeah.
It's one of the best examples I've seen where it kind of walks through different sections on, like, there might be a little bit about best practice, also maybe some terms of service, like don't promote us this way or that way if it's spammy or whatever. They're really sophisticated. Like, they do contests every quarter. They send one of their affiliates on like an all expenses paid holiday. You don't necessarily need to do that, but it's helpful. And then they've got, I think, like links to different like blog posts or case studies. They even talk about, these are the types of customers that we're performing really well with. So if you can, you know, get in front of these types of people, you'll do well. This is a good way to kind of talk about our brand that seems to perform well. So yeah, the more that you can coach your affiliates on the best way to sell your company, the more successful they'll be. So yeah, I'll make a note to share that with you, and you can share it with the listeners afterwards.
Yeah, that would be great. And I just want to make sure folks listening, I don't want any of you to feel overwhelmed by this. This is like, Behive is like one of the fastest growing startups that exists right now. And they're, I'm sure, got many hundreds of employees and a huge team. For many of you, what you essentially want to do is you want to come up, and correct me if I'm wrong, Emmett, you want to come up with like kind of a list of people who you think could be good affiliates for you. And then you want to create some sort of page on your website or some sort of PDF guide with links to different assets that you have, or yeah, Dropbox or something that just has kind of some of your marketing material, some of what works for you to sell your own offer. You want to give people who are going to be selling that offer for you some of those resources that they can use. And this is something that you can start small, you know, it could just be like a one page PDF to start with, some links to content or YouTube videos that perform well for you.
Exactly.
And then as you grow out your affiliate system, this is something that you can expand on over time. And the reason I think that I maybe didn't make this clear enough, the reason why you would do this, because it is some work, it's not nothing. The reason you would do this is because you have to put in the time to get folks to become affiliates, and you have to incentivize that. But then you don't have to pay anything for them to go and promote and market for you until they make a sale, right? So this is different than you paying to go advertise somewhere, to be in someone's newsletter, to run a boosted post on Instagram, whatever else you're doing to pay for marketing. You sort of pay and hope and pray that it works, versus an affiliate program, it's free for you to bring on all these affiliates other than your kind of base software fees. It's free for you to do this, and you only pay the commission when someone actually buys from that affiliate. And Emmett, can you just share, did I miss anything first of all? And sort of like
the kindergarten version
of how this works.
That's exactly, yeah, it's exactly perfect. So yeah, one of the challenges, let's say you're doing Google ads or Facebook ads, is if you think about like your cost per acquiring customers, there's no limit to what it could be, right? Like you could spend hundreds, thousands of dollars to acquire one customer who's worth a fraction of that. Whereas with affiliate marketing, you can specify, well, I'm going to pay 20% for every customer that this affiliate brings me. If they bring me no customers, then it doesn't cost me anything for that affiliate, right? And then if they bring me a customer, then they get 20% of that. And you can define whether you want that to be recurring, if it's a subscription product, or whether you want it to be one time, or whether you want it to stop after 6 months or 12 months or whatever. But it's a very risk-free way to pay for customer acquisition.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of like we always talk about with our audience, time versus money. So this is one of those things where the upfront cost to do this is very, very low. It's going to take you a little bit of time initially to get this off the ground. And then you're going to be doing some outreach and some selling of people on joining your affiliate program, right? But it's not money. The cost is not money. It's your time versus pouring money into Facebook and Instagram ads or Google ads or something like that, where it doesn't take very much time to do that, but it's like a bottomless pit of money potentially.
Exactly.
So I think especially for those of you who are at a stage where you have more time than money to allocate in your business, it's a great way to kind of get more customers or get more students coming into your programs on the platform without having to dump a whole bunch of money in. I am so curious, Emmett, if you can share kind of what are standard commissions looking like in 2024 for kind of different kinds of products. So like for a membership product versus like a digital download, do you guys have percentages that you recommend that people offer affiliates in terms of commission?
Yeah, it all kind of depends on what your margins are, basically, right? So
yeah.
Most of our customers, I'd say probably 70 or 80% of our customers are software. And then the vast majority of our customers, even the ones that aren't software, it's some sort of digital product. So it might be like a online course or a digital product or something like that, where there's no marginal cost. Like each additional download of the course they sell or whatever, it doesn't cost anything. And in those scenarios, you can be very generous because you've got very good margins on each of those sales, right? So for those types of products, we will see between 20 and 30% recurring. And what we'll see some people do is they might cap that after a certain period of time. So for example, our sort of standard affiliate program is 25% for the first 12 months. We've got different programs we run for like different partners that have different rates and things like that, but that's sort of our standard one is 25% for the first 12 months. If someone is selling something that there's some sort of marginal cost, so e-commerce, where it's like it's a physical product that they're selling and the margins are going to be much narrower, it's going to be lower than that 20 to 30%. It might be, you know, like 5 to 10%. We also find is oftentimes like the more expensive the like ticket prices. So like someone who's selling like a $1,000 course or something like that, they might say, well, I'm just going to give 10% as opposed to like 20 or 30%.
Interesting.
I think what it comes down to though is like whatever you offer, you're kind of towing this, there's this balance between I need to make sure I pay my affiliates as well as I can, because the more I pay them, the more incentivized they're going to be. While on the other side, maintaining my margin so that there's enough in it for me for it to be worthwhile. Because if I give up too much in my commission, then it's like, oh, gee, okay, like it's, you know, I'm not making any money. Another thing that I've seen some people do is when they're just trying to get their affiliate program off the ground, is to start their program with a much more generous commission than they intend to keep for the long term. In order to incentivize people to promote them and show them that like, hey, this is worth promoting. You're going to make some good money. And you'd be upfront with the affiliates that like, you know, I'm offering this 50% commission for the first 3 to 6 months just to get the program running. And then, you know, we'll bring it down to a lower level once we've kind of proved that we've got something that people want to buy. But yeah, it's hard to prescribe like a specific rate. It really comes down to what's your margin and how much do you need to give out for your affiliates to find it worthwhile. So part of that is like, what's your ticket price, right? Like, yeah. Are you selling something that's like $5 or are you selling something that's like $500? Yeah.
That's so interesting because my co-founder and I also have a coaching company that spun off of our software company. And in the coaching world, especially among kind of like female entrepreneurs and coaches, the standard is more like 40%. So that's so interesting to hear your reflection sort of from the other side. And I think in the wellness world, affiliate commissions are just not that common, except for things like vitamins and protein powders and kind of things like that. And so, sure. You know, we're kind of in uncharted territory here trying to advise our audience on the ranges that are appropriate for them to offer as commissions. Yeah. I do have another question for you. And this is just like also, I think, common in our industry for the people who have been kind of pioneers in affiliate marketing. And it's like those sites where people who go and they like find all the companies that they want to be affiliate marketers for on like these registries. Do you know what I'm talking about? These, like, do you recommend that people try to go list on those sites? I don't know a whole lot about it. I just know when I was first getting started in the wellness industry, building out our company, a lot of my early clients did kind of have affiliate commissions on these, I don't know, registry sites.
Yeah. So what I would say is there's probably no harm. A lot of people come to us and they ask us about like an affiliate network, right? And yeah. Rewardful doesn't, it's something we've looked at, but we don't currently have an affiliate network. Yeah. And people have asked us, when are you going to have an affiliate network and why don't you have one? And it's something that we've wrestled with. And I'll give you a sort of a sense of why affiliate networks can be good, but they can also be problematic because the types of affiliates that you're going to get from an affiliate network are more likely to be kind of the mercenary types of affiliates who, like earlier in the conversation, I was talking about this idea of like a content creator. They care first about like content that is like relevant to their audience as opposed to the monetary incentive.
Yeah.
Monetary incentive probably needs to be there, but it's not the most important thing. For these more mercenary types of affiliates that you'll find in networks and things like that, all they care about is basically looking for an arbitrage opportunity. Can I drive traffic to this website that is, you know, if it costs me this much to send the traffic, can I get this much revenue? There's margin there. I'll promote it. Mm-hmm. And so you'll see a lot more sort of gaming or nefarious kind of behavior. A very common one is something that's called brand bidding, where let's say I've got a Pilates business, Peter's Pilates, peterspilates.com. And I rank number one on Google for that search term because I've got that domain name and it's a very specific term, right? And so why would I bid on Google for my own brand term? Because I'm going to rank number one. And so as a result, anyone who's going to pay for ads under Peter's Pilates is going to get that click for pretty cheap. And so what people do is they'll join affiliate programs for businesses and buy brand terms on Google search for that, and they'll get it cheap and you're paying a generous commission. And so you are paying someone a commission for traffic you would have got anyways. Anyway, that's one specific sort of gaming
happened.
Behavior.
Actually, that's happened to us. This exact thing happened to us, like our software company with our own affiliate program.
So it's super common. It's super common.
It was so shocking when I realized that was happening. I was like, why is this affiliate making so much money? Who is this person?
And it'd always be that you're like this person out of nowhere. And I don't even know how they're promoting us. And then you realize.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
Yeah. It feels like they're picking your pocket, right?
Yeah. And they're just taking 30% of the commissions, 30% of the revenue we would have gotten anyway. We had to shut that down. That's a great point. And that's so aligned with, I feel like, the values of the wellness industry to our clients in particular. People don't want to do business with people that they feel like have like a different set of ethics than they do. So you really want to cultivate kind of that group of affiliates really well. So that leads me to the question, do you ever recommend or typically recommend that people require, you know, a form be filled out or an application be filled out before someone can become their affiliate? Or like, what is your stance on that?
Yeah, it's a common thing. It's actually one of the next features we're working on within Rewardful right now. A lot of our customers, what they'll do is they'll put like a Google form or type form or something like this, collect applications and then add affiliates after they've vetted them. So like, you know, ask them some basic questions like, how do you plan to promote me? What's your website? What's your source of traffic? You know, that kind of stuff, right? To vet them to a certain extent. It's not a bad idea. It kind of depends on your comfort level with the types of people that are going to be signing up. Those types of things, they tend to only really be an issue after you've reached some sort of critical mass or scale. We see that as like a challenge, the whole brand bidding or just like bad behavior amongst affiliates. It only really crops up for people who've got like a big sort of brand or a presence online. For someone who's running like a small niche business, it's less of an issue. Most of the affiliates that will sign up for your program are people that you've gone out and recruited manually. And in general, my advice is like the best affiliates you'll ever recruit are going to be people that you've gone out and like you've, as you said, cultivated and recruited manually yourself.
Yeah. I think that that's really smart. I've been a part of many different affiliate programs over the last decade plus in the industry. And I would just say like the best ones are the ones where the company or the founder of that brand treats their affiliate program as sort of its own community space. And they're like, you know, they have monthly calls for their affiliates. They are sharing, you know, new things they're releasing or new ways to serve their audience. It's almost like you become part of the team of the brand or of the company. So it kind of is a natural filtration too, because you get to know the people that are your affiliates in that case. And as someone who's been an affiliate in some of those instances, it feels great. Like it makes me want to promote that brand more because I have this direct connection to the creator or the founder.
Yeah. The best thing you can do is to treat your affiliates like partners and not just this faceless transactional relationship. Because if you treat it like a faceless transactional relationship, that's the best you'll get, right? You're more likely to get these kind of bad behaving affiliates or just dormant affiliates that kind of forget about you and don't promote you. Whereas if you think about them as partners and treat them as such, and particularly in the early stages when you're just trying to get things going, there's a common phrase in sort of the software startup world. It's do things that don't scale. And what that means is in the beginning, do things that won't scale in the long term. Like getting on a call with each affiliate individually, that doesn't scale. But for your first five affiliates, it's probably a good idea. Learn about them, like who is this person? And like, why did they sign up for my affiliate program? And understand like how they're going to promote you. And you'll learn things about your business and the space, your industry and so forth that you didn't realize. And then as you get bigger, you try and make that be more scalable, right? So instead of getting on individual calls with affiliates, it becomes a weekly or monthly webinar or a pre-recorded webinar or what have you. But in the beginning, yeah, be willing to be gritty and do things that don't scale.
Yeah. Well, on that note, that's great advice, Emmett. Thank you so much for your time. And I know you have a training program on affiliate marketing. Can you just share a little bit about that and how folks can find it?
Sure. Yeah. So depending on when this is released, the course, we're just getting ready to launch it now. So it may, depending on when this is published, it might already be out. But if you want to sign up for the course, go to rewardful.com/course. And either it'll be a pre-registration form and you can sign up to get notified, or it'll be the actual sort of sign-up form. And a lot of the messaging, again, I apologize, it's very geared towards the language talks about SaaS, but the general principles are kind of universal. And very briefly, those principles, the three main principles that we try to get people to sort of espouse in order to kind of have a successful program. The first principle is make it easy for your affiliates to make money. There's a lot of things that go into that. Like we talked earlier about like making sure they've got the collateral they need to be able to promote you, pay them generous commissions, make sure you have a product that people actually want to buy, so on and so forth. But basically make it easy for them to make money. The second is to run your program like a professional. And at the heart of that is basically, like we were just saying, make your affiliates feel like they're part of a community. Make them feel like you actually care about your affiliate program, that it's a priority, right? What you don't want is people to feel like you don't care about the program, right? So that's the second principle, is run your program like a professional. And then the third principle is to build a system or a process for recruiting affiliates. Don't rely on people to just sort of passively find you and join your affiliate program. Actually put some processes in place to actively go out and find affiliates and cultivate a community of affiliates. So yeah, basically we've got 2 hours of content across 12 different videos that kind of goes through all these three different principles. And I'm pretty confident if you can live up to those principles that you'll have a well-performing affiliate program.
Well, that's great. That's so helpful. We'll definitely link to that in the show notes. And thank you, Emmett, so much again for your time today and for sharing all of your wisdom about building out an affiliate program. And I know our community is going to be so excited to get started with Rewardful. So thank you again.
Thanks for having me.
This podcast is brought to you by Marvelous. Marvelous helps you build and sell your own courses, coaching programs, memberships, and digital products. Go from idea to open for business in just minutes. If you're looking for a simple, beautiful, custom branded platform to build and grow your online business, you can learn more at heymarvelous.com.